Tonight's Thursday Eviction Big Brother recap is sponsored by Beachbody On Demand. You don't need to wait for Christmas Abbott's next workout book to get in shape. You could be working out from the comfort of your home with a variety of workouts for every single body type and fitness level for free. For 1 month, just text the word ROB to 303030 for 1 month free of Beachbody On Demand. That's 1 month free of Beachbody On Demand for Rob as a podcast listener. Just text the word ROB to 303030. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who is ready to podcast another 90 days about just the jury house. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the final Big Brother Thursday of Big Brother 19. And we've got a lot in store for you tonight because we have a great guest and very excited to hear from this person. He's an RHAP favorite and turns out one of the most popular winners in recent seasons. Please welcome back to the podcast, Andy Haran. Andy, how are you?
I am so good. Thank you for having me. I'm sad that it took me so long to get on here.
Yes. Well, very excited to have you. And Andy, as every year goes by, you only become more popular. So very excited.
I think that's kind of true. I think I'm like a fine wine for Big Brother winners. I don't get as much hate anymore.
Yes. So very excited to have Andy with us. And we've got a full house tonight because also with us is the only man who's worked harder than Paul this summer. Please welcome back Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
Well, hey, guy. We're doing a show here, guy. What are you doing, guy? What's up?
And then let's also welcome in a man who is leading the charge for Raven for America's Favorite Player. Brent, welcome up, Brent. How are you?
I want you all to know that I came in my best Andy Haran shirt tonight. It is tight and somewhat ill-fitting and makes me look as though I'm trying to pass myself off as a 13-year-old. So,
thank you. I'm so flattered.
You're welcome.
It's the Andy roast already. Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. So we got a lot of stuff to get to. First off, hashtag RHAP if you want to get your questions into the show. If you want to get your questions into our Big Brother finale coverage, I'm going to be at the finale. I'll be in the backyard once again to talk with the house guests right after they get out of the house, which, Andy, you know, is always very fun.
Yeah, I don't know if I would use the word fun. It's a lot.
It's a lot. It is a lot. And we are going to be also taking some of your questions to ask the Big Brother contestants. So you can send those in. bbfinale@robisthewebsite.com. So get all of your questions in and we'll do our best to ask them to the Big Brother house guests on finale night. And also 3 weeks from tonight, just shifting to Survivor, Survivor 35 right around the corner, I am going to be doing the first of a series of live shows this fall. I'm going to be at the Hollywood Improv doing not a Survivor recap. We're going to do our first ever Survivor match game. Just like the TV game show. I'm sure Andy and Brent are big match game fans.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we are going to have a panel of Survivor alumni to play match game live on stage. It's just a $15 ticket if you want to be there with us in person at the Hollywood Improv. Go to robisthewebsite.com/matchgame for more information on that. All right. Let's get into, I guess, our top story at this hour, Andy. Kevin is gone. Never really had a shot at this thing, but a gracious exit for Kevin, right?
Yeah. No, Kevin was a sweet, lovely man who just didn't really play the game at all. I mean, he had a good social game. Don't get me wrong. He was walking around being nice to everybody. But I don't believe he won anything, right? He didn't win a single thing all summer.
25K. Yeah.
Oh, right, right. And the fact that he was so blind up to Paul up until the end, like, I liked Kevin a lot, but I guess I'm not super sad to see Kevin go.
Okay. Taryn, are we buying Kevin is just, water under the bridge? Paul's got to do his thing. He's a good guy. He's a good kid. Come for Thanksgiving. Are we buying this, or is Kevin secretly raging?
I'm buying it. Kevin wants everyone over for Thanksgiving. He's been talking to Paul about this decision basically all week long, or at least since the feeds came back, which I guess has only been about a day. But I totally buy this.
When the feeds came back, that's what we're calling Thanksgiving at my house, the feeds, because we're going to feed a million people at my Thanksgiving dinner, Brent.
Well, I don't know, though, because once he gets to the jury house, I have to think that the other jurors are going to beat it into him that if Paul really had your best interest, he would have used the veto on you. Like, it seems like the jury house right now is pretty anti-Paul, or at least there are elements of it that are. And I can't believe that Kevin isn't going to be impressionable once he gets to the jury house and they beat it into his head that, you know, Paul could have saved you if he wanted to.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Well, that's part of what I think we saw was that Kevin basically said, yeah, Paul took me out because he didn't want to face me in the final two, and I'm okay with it.
Is that what you heard, though, Andy? I just heard that Kevin sound very confused, and he never really acknowledged that there was a final three.
I kind of agree with that. I feel like he didn't really seem like he knew. Yet again, he didn't really seem like he knew what was going on. And, like, even the conversation that he had earlier in the episode with Paul where he was like, yeah, I'd be happy to lose to you. I was just like, I think he kind of means it. Like, I don't really, like, I don't know. I just don't really think. I think Kevin was in over his head a little bit. I don't think he knew Big Brother. I don't think that he knew, like, the nuances of the game very well. And I think he left confused.
Yeah, I think he was confused, but I do think that he might get a dose of reality when he gets there. Now, so just to sort of talk through the blocking of how this finale goes. So Kevin is going to be the person who walks in once, Dr. Will or whoever ends up leading the final congregation of the jury. And they're talking about, like, who did what? And then, okay, here comes the other person and he storms in. And then could we see in that ceremony, like, no, Kevin, Paul never had your back. He was always trying to get rid of you. And Kevin sort of, like, has a little bit of a rude awakening, Andy?
I mean, maybe, but also you have to realize that, and I feel like fans, probably not a lot of fans probably know this, but the fourth place finisher does the jury roundtable, and then the jury goes to a hotel for a week. And so Kevin won't have any time with the jury. Like, Kevin literally, he will do that roundtable discussion, then he'll be done. And so, I mean, maybe if they can get it into him, like, within the couple hours that they're doing that.
So the jury gets sequestered individually following?
At least ours did.
That's so weird.
Yeah, our jury got sequestered for a week before the finale.
It's because the roundtable takes place in a different location, right, than the jury house?
Yes. Yet again, I'm not your best person to ask about this. But right. I know for a fact that my cast got sequestered for a week before the finale. Like, McCray never stepped foot in the jury house.
There's also Kevin is doing his interview on the feeds right now. If you guys want that information, he's saying, I don't feel any animosity toward anybody. Paul did what he had to do to win. I don't care. They had a final three. They were smart to take me out.
Okay, we'll see. But I think that he feels like that he was in on it to a certain point. And I think that as he starts to learn how much he was not in on it, and also maybe how much Paul was throwing him under the bus to other people, I feel like that might hurt for Kevin. What do you think, Brent?
I think it will. Here's the thing. I don't expect Kevin to say anything but what he's saying right now, because he's such a classy guy. He's never going to go to an exit interview right after being evicted and say anything negative about Big Brother, CBS, Julie Chen, or any of the house guests that he played with. He's just not. But once he has a chance to think about it and goes to the jury, and then once they have that round table where Raven and Alex are going to be telling him, look, Paul wanted you out for like weeks and couldn't wait to get rid of you. He never had your back. He had final threes with all of us. And of course, you know, they're going to, like I said, beat it into his head that he could have saved you and he chose not to. Right now, Kevin's blaming it on Christmas. In Kevin's head, Christmas is the cause. He doesn't have the ability to think even two-dimensionally about the game, much less three-dimensionally. Like, he's like, well, Christmas is the vote. If she stabs me in the back, it's her fault that I'm not going to the final three, because he was asking Paul that all day. You know, do you think there's something up with Christmas? I'm like, Christmas isn't your problem, boy. Paul is your problem. Get him to use the veto and you won't have to worry about Christmas.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see when he ultimately gets more information, because I feel like that everything about Kevin has always been this sort of like street code, like he's like Omar, where I feel like an eye for an eye seems to be the way that he looks at things, that I don't think turn the other cheek is his motto, Andy.
No, I very much agree with your assessment of Kevin right there. But I also think that it's that coupled with the fact that he like doesn't understand the game very well, and it makes for kind of this like cripplingly bad Big Brother player.
Mm-hmm. You know, that Brent, you mentioned about Christmas not being the problem. I thought that it was very interesting that the way this episode was put together, we saw that the drama hinging on, oh, will Paul use the veto? Will Paul not use the veto? But ultimately, Christmas had the deciding vote. We didn't see 1 second of, you know, Christmas being like, oh, should I get rid of Kevin or should I get rid of Josh? Josh could be tough to beat in the end. We didn't even see one conversation between Kevin and Christmas, and she was going to be the vote to evict.
Well, in Kevin's, or I guess not in Kevin's defense, he never really went to Christmas that I saw, Taryn, and asks her point blank, you know, are you going to vote to keep me? He always just sort of assumed it. He never really went. Even Christmas and Paul had a conversation where they were like, you know, he's basically given up, even though I don't think he really had at that point. So I think part of the blame lies at Kevin's feet for not actually approaching Christmas. That would have at least given them some footage to show. But Christmas, I mean, she would never consider that, Rob. You're talking about a player that is not on this season. She just does whatever Paul tells her to do. Paul could get Christmas to do anything, and she would do it.
Brent, I know.
It's all about her team.
Yeah.
I think something you have to understand about Kevin is that he basically, throughout the entire game, he talked game with Paul, Alex, and Jason. Alex completely turned on him and hated him. Then Jason turned his back on him. Then Kevin tried to talk game with Cody, with Jessica, with Mark, with Elena, basically everyone else who also basically said, we're either already stepping out the door or we don't want to talk with you. Paul is the only one that ever consistently talked game with him. And so when it came down to this final four, Kevin was only talking through Paul. He was saying, Paul, our final three with Christmas is good, right? And Paul was like, yeah, it's good. Kevin never actually went to Christmas to confirm that. Paul was just like, hang out with Christmas, do some chit chat. It'll be great. But Kevin really never stepped out of that realm again after Jason left. He only talked game with Paul.
So Andy, I'd love to get your feelings on Paul this season in terms of as a Big Brother player and an alumni, and especially as a winner. Are you pulling for Paul to pull this off, or are you hoping to see him stumble in the end?
I'm really conflicted about how I feel about it. I feel like I honestly change. I feel like sometimes I think that Paul is playing great, and the game player in me is like, oh, like he really has pulled off some crazy, crazy moves, getting people to throw all these competitions, and he deserves it. And then the other part of me just really doesn't like the way that he's gone about it. It hasn't been fun. Like how he will just get everyone to turn on someone and like bully them for a week has not been fun to watch. And I feel like the way that he has been playing has just not, it's like left a bad taste in my mouth. But at the same time, I feel like I tweeted this a little bit ago, if the jury votes for him to win, I think he deserves to win, you know, but if the jury doesn't, I think that he really has miscalculated some key elements of jury management. Like I think that he really messed up by not outing himself to Jason. I think that he has really messed up by not wanting to get blood on his hands. But like, does he not realize that when the jurors talk, they're going to realize that he 100% got blood on his hands and was just dishonest about it?
Yeah.
And so I guess like my thing is I was actually kind of taken aback that they didn't show any goodbye messages to Alex, because I feel like I used from like maybe like the final eight on, I used goodbye messages very crucially. Like in my goodbye messages, I would out myself and be like, hey, I know that you thought you could trust me and you couldn't, but it's a game and I love you and you should understand that, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like people left hearing those messages and like, they weren't mad at me. Like they like respected it. They were just like, okay, like he was nice and kind in the house and he backstabbed me, but like he explained that he was playing a game. And I feel like with Paul, at least the way that it seems, he has left, like I said earlier, a bad taste in the mouths of the jurors and they're mad. And you can't establish these really close connections and not be at least somewhat honest as you're doing it, you know?
Just to touch on the Alex goodbye message last night, I think we pieced together that because it was a surprise eviction, that's why they didn't do pre-recorded goodbye messages, because they want to at least keep the illusion that it was going to be some sort of a predetermined thing.
That's so stupid. Why can't they just say like, oh, we did a break of Big Brother in 3 days? Like I was with friends watching it last night and I was just like, this is not how it happens. Like this all happens over like a 2.5 day period. It's not like it happens the way that they show it. I don't get why they like put that ruse up. I don't think it would make a big difference if they were just honest about it. I don't think the audience would care.
But we saw again tonight in the goodbye message, Paul makes the conscious decision to say to Kevin, Kevin, oh my God, I don't know what just happened. Christmas must have gone rogue. We were boys. I can't believe it. I guess I'll have to do this one on my own. But
oh, and I think it's a major mistake. I think that if he makes it to the final two, he's going to, instead of just being able to like very succinctly explain his game, he's going to have to do a lot of backpedaling and apologizing. And I think that's going to cut into like the time that he's able to like explain what he has done. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? I feel like since I outed myself to people, I didn't have to backpedal and apologize. I was like, hey, you all know what I did. And this is why I did it. I feel like Paul is going to have to be like, oh, well, I didn't tell you the truth because blah, blah, blah. And it's going to like cut into his time to actually explain what he's done. And right. I think that some people are genuinely hurt by him. You know,
Taryn, I feel like this is something that you've mentioned in the past with Dan in Big Brother 14, where the way that the jury segment is structured in modern Big Brother, there is not enough time for somebody to explain a lot of complicated, nuanced decisions that were made.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, Andy is somebody who utilized those goodbye messages. I think it's a really good thing to have you on this podcast and for you to point this out, because I've actually been thinking about Andy in terms of like when Andy was in the final two, the jury was questioning him. You said that like you would never betray our friendship, that you would never vote for somebody in the end that betrayed like somebody's friendship. Like, how do you feel about that? And your response to that was like, of course I said that. That's what got me here.
Right.
And they laughed. They laughed because they thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And like that's Paul is not going to be able to do that and have people laugh. And that's because he hasn't been upfront with people, because people are questioning, was our friendship genuine? Because he was still trying to play me even after I left the house.
Right.
And I really feel like it's even with Kevin, who I think will still probably vote for him. This was a mistake. I think Kevin was perfectly willing to accept that, you know, Paul, he decided he didn't want to be in the end with me. He decided Josh and Christmas were easier people to go with. All Paul needed to do was say that. But instead, he got the narrative from Josh, who was like, actually, we've been in a final three and like we've been super loyal to each other. That's a bit more damning in terms of a narrative being told to Kevin. Kevin is much more amenable to the idea that like, oh, Paul decided that they're weaker and he's taking them. I've been saying it all season long, but I feel like Paul is just not doing a good job here. I don't necessarily think it's gonna kill him in terms of the jury, but we did see Josh, I think, actually utilize his nomination speech very well, knowing that as Rob, you pointed out, that you don't have time to convince the jury in the finale with those like live questioning things. Josh was like, this is probably my last opportunity to speak to the jury and give them time to talk about what I'm doing. Let me essentially pitch my game to them while pretending I'm talking to Christmas. I thought that was a great move.
Well, he's even been doing that in his goodbye messages. I feel like Josh has been pretty brilliant in his goodbye messages. He's been the one outing Paul, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think that just really quickly, I think that Andy, it shows Paul's inexperience at this game, even though he played last season,
right?
Because he still is under the impression that he's going to be able to go to the final three, final two, and the jury is going to still be believing all of his lies, and that Raven and Alex have been sent explicitly to the jury to keep up their stories, to get their stories straight, to talk to each other. He still thinks that's going to happen. So I think it's going to be a really rude awakening for him when he gets, if he gets to a final two, and the jury starts to hold him accountable for all the things that he's done. And he's not ready to defend that because he's still under the impression that the jury thinks he has no blood on his hands. And by the way, if I hear that phrase one more time, I might scream from Paul.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like that phrase, I'm okay with hearing that phrase when you've got like 10 people left. But when you're in the final four, I'm just like, no, no more. Get the blood on your hands.
Yeah.
Well, I agree. This is a great segue to talk about the jury segment, which was far and away the highlight of the episode, because we really got to see a number of people come into the jury house, starting with Clueless Matt. And it seems like, you know, where was this Mark and Elena and Cody in the house where they just seem like that they are just pretty aware of everything that was going on, and they had zingers left and right. Here comes Stupid Matt into the jury house, and we got to hear his take on what he thought happened in the game.
The plan was, if Jason or Alex won HOH, I'll put Kevin up.
To backdoor Kevin.
The hell would you backdoor Kevin for? Put him in the veto. He's not going to win.
that makes a lot of sense. You know, Andy, why would you backdoor Kevin?
You wouldn't. And it shows what a useless waste of space Matt was as a Big Brother player. I genuinely think that Matt is one of the worst casting decisions in the history of the show. He was completely and totally useless up and still continues to be so in the jury house.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I just think, like, to give you a gauge of what I think of Matt, I will find myself like recounting who's on the jury, and this has happened like 3 or 4 times now. Well, I will come up a number short, and I'm like listing the people again. And I'm like, oh, like after 30 seconds, I'm like, oh, I forgot Matt. Like Matt is part of the jury. I don't remember that person played the game.
Okay.
What? What? How can you say that, homie? Dude, why are you being such a guy? What? What?
And okay, and I also think that Mark and Elena and Cody, like, these were the Mark and Elena and Cody that we saw in the house, but they just couldn't gain any traction. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like they were like on the wrong side of the numbers. Like Elena, when I would watch the feeds, I didn't watch the feeds too much, but a couple times when I did, Elena would say things that would legitimately make me laugh out loud. Like she was talking about Christmas one day, and she was like, she was talking to Mark, and she was like, if you ever hear me say the phrase kitty boo boo, please like immediately push me down a flight of stairs. And I was like, that is funny. Like I was like, Elena is like all of us. Like Elena is hearing these things and thinking that they're ridiculous. And she's a funny person. Like, I think that Elena is one of the few people on this season that I would like outside of the house.
Yeah.
I think there should be like a meme that goes around. That's like, this is a Big Brother player and this is a Big Brother player on Paul. Because I think he just completely dampened all of their personality and gameplay. And that's why we're seeing them really shine in the jury.
No, I genuinely think that this season, the cast had potential. I remember when the cast came out, I was very excited. I was like, they're a little bit older. Like pretty much all of them said they would rather win and be hated than lose and be loved. I liked them a lot. And then it was a day or two later where like the rumors started coming out that Paul was going to be on. And I was like, no, no, no. Like I was like, we have an all new, like pure, genuine cast. Like do not put a vet in there. And I feel like Paul has ruined it.
So then we saw Jason come into the jury house, and Jason was real legitimately confused about what happened to him. Yeah. He felt like that Alex screwed him over. He really didn't know what was going on. And it wasn't until Raven got there, then she actually was able to talk some sense into Jason, into realizing the error of his ways. So first we had Raven, who then described what was really going into the house. Like, she knew enough for Jason. It's like everybody knows what happened to other people, but nobody knows actually what happened to them.
Right.
And it's like they can't piece it together. It's like they're at some sort of like reverse like murder mystery dinner where you're playing a character and you know who you are, but you have no idea who you are. You only know who the other people are
right. In
the game. And so here's what she had to say.
Actually, I want Paul to go to the end.
Why do you want Paul to go to the end?
Because I've been working with Paul the entire time.
Paul's been working with everyone the entire time.
No.
No.
Matt and I and Paul, we had an alliance together.
Yes. So that was outed. That got blown up tonight, Andy, that Raven, Matt, and Paul were the real puppet masters this season.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as I would say that they were probably better players than me, like watching it now. Like,
yeah, she was, and then actually, she cuts Paul out of it, that he wasn't even a puppet master.
They said Alex was a puppet master. I think they figured out it was me and Paul. Maybe not Paul, but I was pulling some strings because I knew what was going on.
Yeah, maybe not Paul. Maybe he wasn't really even the puppet master.
Oh, I didn't even catch that. They laughed, and yeah. She was like, oh, they're laughing. I must be wrong about one of them. It must be Paul.
No, maybe Paul wasn't right. So much the puppet master. Maybe it was just Raven, Brent.
Yeah, I know. You know what? I know that we saw Raven be very, very pro-Paul in the jury, to the point where I thought she was actually poisoning Paul with a lot of people in the jury because she and Matt were so pro-Paul. The thing that we didn't see that I know you're about to get to is when Alex walks into the jury, the piece of information that Alex has that Raven does not know is that on a 2-1 vote to evict Raven, Paul was one of the two. The person who voted to keep Raven was Josh. And Raven is under the assumption right now that Paul was outvoted by Christmas and Josh. So I'm interested to see if she changes her tune once she finds that out. But they didn't show that to us tonight. Right. So I think they're keeping something under their hat.
Well, I want to go back to something you touched on, Brent, where I think that we may have an interesting situation where now is the jury shifting a little bit as people are starting to put the pieces together because Paul has sent them out in such a confused state. And the risk that he runs is that they piece together the information in a way that ultimately makes him look bad because he's not controlling this message in the jury house. So could we get a situation where Matt and Raven, who are the unlikable people in the jury house, they've almost become the enemies of the jury house at this point. And we saw Raven getting into it with Mark even.
What did you win besides throw condiment on Josh? And why everybody?
everybody.
I didn't fight for my safety 4 weeks in a row.
For the record, I love that she asked him, what did you win besides throwing a condiment on Josh? Like, what contest? Is that he won that game of pool? Do we have the answer to that?
Yeah, I mean, apparently he did, but he also won 2 vetoes and 2 safeties, and she didn't win anything.
She's an idiot. But in terms of the idea that could they be the people that are like pounding the table? No, Paul was the best. Paul was the best. That could they poison everybody else against Paul, Andy?
Yeah, I mean, I liken it like on my jury, Amanda did that for McCray. Like, Amanda hammered it in so hard that, like, Helen was telling me that Helen, Candace, Jesse, Alyssa, and Aaron all formed a pact that if McCray made the final two, he was never going to win against anybody just because they wanted to piss off Amanda. And so I feel like I think it is very likely because, like I said, you're still in such close quarters with people. If you're really pissing them off and annoying them, Matt and Raven could poison the jury enough to the point where they don't want to vote for Paul.
Yeah. Taryn, what is your read on that? Do you think that that's a possibility?
It's certainly a possibility. You know, I think when we're looking at this, we heard Mark say he's going to come in second. It was pointed out to me on Twitter. This does look like it might have been taken out of context in order to mislead us. But even if we want to take that at face value, that's theoretically Mark and Elena. Maybe Cody doesn't even vote for Paul. Maybe we say Jason definitely doesn't vote for Paul. That's 4. But if Raven and Matt stick to it, if Alex sticks to it, I think Christmas and Kevin will both vote for Paul, meaning Paul would still win 5-4. So I still think he's the favorite here. Also, Josh's main selling point in his goodbye messages and in his final speech has always been, I'm going to out my alliance with Paul, that I had a final three with Paul. And we're seeing just how well that's received in the jury house right now. Every single time somebody's come back into that jury house, they've gone, actually, I had a final three with Paul. And they're going, yeah, everyone did, idiot. I feel like if Josh thinks that's going to be his trump card, it's not going to work too well.
I feel like it's going to work okay, though. And I do agree with Rob's point, and I tweeted this out earlier, that it had emanations of Bobby and Bruno from Big Brother Canada 3, where they were in the jury pounding the table so hard for Godfrey, and everyone else was like, we really don't want to vote for him. And to the point where Bruno was pissing people off, I feel like Matt and Raven, it seemed like that's what was happening in the jury. I will also say, though, that having watched Big Brother for 19 seasons, I did feel like they were laying it on a little bit thick with the anti-Paul propaganda coming out of the jury. I felt like they were trying to hide the ball a little bit and not expose the fact that Paul maybe wins on a 9-0 vote or something. I don't know if that's possible, but it felt like it felt a little bit forced to me.
Andy, what was your reaction to Cody, who, seemed that you could read it both ways, one, you could say, well, he's kind of above this, that he was right all along about Paul, and so he doesn't need to say anything. Or you could also take the read that he is not really doing his part as a juror and participating in the exercise. What was your take on Cody?
I mean, can you really be that upset that he's not? I think that's how Cody's been the whole season. When Cody was in the house, he wouldn't talk to anybody. I feel like Cody has never played by the rules, really. And so, like, you just have to realize, I guess, like, Cody hates everybody and just doesn't pull any punches about it. And so it didn't piss me off. I didn't care. Like,
Rob, you sound like Paul when Jessica and Cody wouldn't even say anything in the veto speech. When Jessica was like, world peace, and Cody was like, I don't have anything to say. You know, Paul's like, you know, they're disrespecting the game. Now, like, I listen to you say that sort of thing.
Hold
on,
Brent.
Like,
I asked a question to Andy. What did Andy think? Did you think that he was above it? Or did you think?
It's not like it was leaning the
way. Here's the thing. No, Big Brother is a show where, like, people in extreme attards and, like, chicken suits strategize, and where there are, like, a joke spewing robot named Zingbot comes in. It is a show that, like, it's pretty hard to be above, and pretty easy to be above. And so I don't hold anything against Cody.
Yes. Taryn, what were you going to say?
Rob said something that theoretically could be seen as anti-Cody, and Brent just alarms went off.
I know, yes. Right? Okay. I got a button right here.
So, Brent, you felt like that he helped his standing tonight for America's Favorite Player campaign?
He was freaking hilarious. Like, I was just watching him the entire time. Of course, I'm already like a Cody stan, but I was still like, I was just mesmerized by him on the couch, where, you know, I really want to know, like, what is he thinking? Like, he's stuck with all these people that he absolutely hated that he tried to tell all of them that Paul's running the game. Alex and Jason even said to Cody, you know, hey, if we come into the jury house anytime before, like, you know, final five or final four, then, you know, you can punch us in the gut or something. What, didn't he say something like that to them, Taryn?
Yeah, yeah. I get to punch you guys if you come walking in the jury house after me.
Right, exactly. So I feel like he's just living for this moment right now.
So will that be on the finale? Will he punch them on the finale?
We can only hope. That and Gina Marie beating up Raven.
Yeah. Okay, well, that we can only hope for gets on Periscope or something like that. So, Taryn, did Kevin get a new suit or did he keep this one suit behind that he had sort of like, a lot of times the women have like the eviction dress. Did he know something was up and he pulled out this suit tonight?
Don't underestimate Kevin's suit game. He's got a suit for every possible occasion. Like percent chance that he's going to go home. This was like the 80% chance he's going to go home suit.
Well, and I can attest that there's no way they bought him a suit. They're very cheap and there's 0% chance that they did that. Like, I ran out of deodorant and it like came out of my stipend that they had to buy me more.
Oh my God.
It's like prison. Wait.
So Andy, in Big Brother, you're responsible for packing your, like all the deodorant you're going to need for 3 months.
I did not have enough deodorant and then I forgot a belt. And so they bought me deodorant and a belt and they literally brought the receipt and like made me pay for it.
Oh my gosh. So like toiletries, whatever toothpaste you use.
Toothpaste, they cover the ones, deodorant they didn't cover. They didn't cover I just for some reason did not read the list as closely as I should have. And I didn't bring deodorant or contact solution. They did not cover either of those things. So those came out of my own pocket.
Wow. You got a bill at the end.
What? Yeah, this was actually before I got a bill before I went in because that's when they got my contact solution. And then I got a bill for other stuff after I was in.
Guys, you have to trade like commissary, like I'll give you some deodorant if you give me a vote.
Right. Wow. So there is a 0% chance they got Kevin a suit. I promise you.
Yeah. Andy, who have been some of your favorites this season? I feel like that you mentioned Elena, and I feel like that typically following you on social media, you have a couple people that you really are pulling for as the game goes on. Did you have this season?
No, I liked Elena. I feel like I liked all the people that just kind of like showed some sort of opposition to Paul for a while. Like, don't get me wrong. I think Jessica and Cody were bad Big Brother players. Like, they were bad, bad, bad at the game. But at the same time, I enjoyed them because I liked what they stood for. Like, they stood for some sort of opposition to Paul. Ramsey seemed very nice, but like, he was nothing. I liked Mark and Elena. I actually, like, for a while, I was blindly ignorant to Matt. Like, I was like, okay, Matt's, I thought Matt was kind of playing like me. I was like, Matt is ingratiated with, like, the big alliance. He's laying low. And then I was like, oh, no, he just is awful and is completely worthless.
Dominique is the other person that I'm like, looking back on it, I'm like, I really wish I had more Dominique in my life, especially when she went after Paul as much as she did.
No, Dominique was a waste of a space. Okay. Here's the thing. I got in so much trouble for saying this, but I was just like, I'm sorry, but like, can they please stop putting on the player that like thinks that God is telling them what to do? It's just like, it's a waste of a space because like, if you're that narcissistic that you think that God is like taking time out of his busy schedule to like tell you how to play Big Brother, then like you're crazy.
Yeah.
And like, I just, it like frustrates me when those people are on there because I think they take away a spot from someone that like would be a legitimate game player.
Yeah. Well, you know what I actually really didn't like this past week was that, you know, Alex, that for the amount of times that she's doing the sign of the cross all the time, but then she's wearing a hat that says petty on it. I mean, that to me, that seems like a very mixed message.
Right.
I don't know if that was, I missed the part in the Bible where it said, okay, you know, be petty to thy fellow house guests and be mean to Kevin. Get him riled up if you can.
I've always wondered, like, can you, like, if that person is in the house, like, could other people use that as strategy? Like, I wonder if I would, if like, or I'm sure you would get tons of hate, but like, if I was in the house with Dominique and like, I was on the block and I went up to her and was like, God came to me in a dream last night and he told me that like, I should stay and you shouldn't evict me. Like, I wonder if that would work. You know, it's like these people that like rely so heavily on their religion. I just feel like it's, like I said, it's a waste of a space from someone that like would actually strategically play the game.
Yeah.
Like, Dominique was not a stupid person, but I feel like she played stupidly because of like her religious beliefs, which was very frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, I don't want to say that, you know, because I know this is a touchy subject with a lot of people that, you know, that I'm not going to even say that, you know, there's anything ethical about it, because I really do believe in a separation between what you believe in religion and going ahead and doing what's best for your game. But I just feel like that she did a lot of things in the house that really had nothing to do with the game, and she was mean-spirited. And to me, that's more at odds with, you know, that you know, being so demonstrative of faith.
Oh, totally. No, Alex was very, very mean to a lot of people unnecessarily. And yeah, I feel like if she is super religious, I feel like that's not something that would like go along with what she believes in. But yeah, I mean, I have a lot to say about Alex. I feel like Alex gets this weird praise about being like strategic and a gamer. And I think Alex is one of the worst players that we've had in recent memory. And so...
But I feel like that was... She's sort of the... anointed herself as the... You know, I'm the strategic mastermind this season. Just because I say something is going to go, then that's how it's going to be. You know, and she's always telling us how smart she is. That it's and Jason also is telling us how smart she is.
No, whenever someone brings it up, like I will talk to like fans who will be like, I'm really pulling for Alex, and I'm like, what? I'm like, Alex is so bad at the game that she accidentally voted for the wrong person once. When I'm just like, you want her to win? Like, what are you talking about? I was with my dad last weekend and he was like, you know, I'm just rooting for Alex. And I was like, huh? Like,
yeah. Andy, they're watching. Those people are watching the TV show though, right? They're not watching the feeds.
Right.
Exactly. That's the problem. The TV show depicted Alex as sort of like a cute little teddy bear that you could play with and was sort of fun. And she was feisty and she won competitions and she was friends with Paul. But on the feeds, we saw the real Alex, who was absolutely horrible and said some really nasty things about Kevin and other house guests. And also didn't have a strategic bone in her body because everything was always through Paul. He had this franchise of friendship. And even now, listening to her exit interviews, Rob, she still is not totally on track with what happened. And I mean, she's sort of there, but she's still drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, Tara, what was the quote that she had given to Mike Bloom about Kevin? You don't have to give it verbatim.
But she basically said, because Mike was like, so you really went after some people throughout the game, like you instigated some fights. And she was like, oh, well, Kevin, he just instigated things with me all the time. He was constantly poking at me, being condescending and saying mean things about me. So I just hated him.
Yeah. Okay. Don't ask her how to make the slop anymore, Kevin. Don't do that ever again. Okay.
She just hated Kevin so much. Honestly, I think it stemmed from the fact that she knew that he was that hinky vote it down in like week two or three. But like basically Paul just fed into that and like grew this character of Kevin that was somehow mad at Kevin was on Team Alex for like two thirds of the season. And Alex hated him long before he even knew that she hated him. But she's claiming that he did it first.
Right. There was a time where I thought that if Paul ended up on the block next to Alex, that was the only way you could get Paul out. There was a time in the game when this was true because Kevin would have voted to keep Alex and would have evicted Paul at that point because he was sort of annoyed with Paul and Alex was like, you know, with Jason and that was his ride or die. They had like a nice little threesome alliance there. So I felt like he was really positioned well in the game and then it just all fell apart after he started talking to Cody.
So Andy, as we look at this final three, are you putting all of your chickens into Josh's basket? Do you believe that he could potentially pull this off?
I mean, I do think that Josh will take Christmas, right? I think Josh will cut Paul. Am I wrong? Like to think that
anything
changed? Okay, yeah, I think Josh will take Christmas.
Yeah, that's the part, Rob, that I'm really, really worried about because I'm a Josh fan and I want Josh to win. So I'm looking at this jury going, so if I want Josh to win, I should hope that he loses the final HOH because if that's true, then Paul will most likely win it and take Josh to the end where Josh could possibly win. But the horror story of horror stories could happen if Josh wins final HOH, he cuts Paul, takes Christmas to the end, and the jury votes for Christmas.
Can we just confirm if it was Josh versus Christmas in the final two, that we believe that Christmas would win that vote, Taryn?
Well, it's too close for comfort. I think Arissa Cox said it best on Twitter where she was like, it's a live jury because everyone's expecting Paul to go to the final two. And if he walks out in third place, I feel like that they're going to have some thinking to do.
Yeah. I think Christmas automatically has Paul, Kevin, and probably Cody at the very least.
Even after Christmas voted to evict Kevin.
Yeah, no, totally. Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin hates Josh, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, remember, Josh is the one that really came after Kevin right. about his kids, and Kevin almost smashed him over the head with a bottle or a glass.
Yeah, but you saw there at the end, he was like loving him, and he was cool, and he was like, "I'm gonna come over for Thanksgiving."
Come on,
yeah.
He's always
great. Kind of be like the viewing audience. Like, I feel like I spent the first 2/3 of the summer legitimately wanting to throw my TV out a window when Josh was on the screen. I hated him more than I've ever hated another contestant in the history of the show. I think and it wasn't even like a fun hate. I just seriously hated him, and I am now finding myself liking him, which is so weird. But I feel like that's kind of the spell that he has over everybody. Like when Mark left, I mean, he tormented Mark for weeks, and Mark was like, "I'm cool with him." You know?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think that Taryn, you're really selling a bill of goods there by just saying, "Oh, Kevin's going to vote for Christmas." I know, because number one, juries are hard to read. Okay, number two, I feel like Kevin could vote for Josh because he actually likes the kid, and that's how he thinks of him like that. I really like the kid.
Kevin spent the last day and a half telling Paul, "Take Josh to the end. Nobody is going to vote for Josh. Everyone will vote for Christmas. She's super smart."
Yeah,
right. But that was before he realized the truth of what was happening, and the jury has
changed. Right.
But hasn't Christmas,
right.
like, hasn't Christmas
I'm just saying. Not,
like, but no, Christmas hasn't been super nice, and Christmas hasn't yeah. really tried to get to know a lot of the other. Like, I don't know. I don't think it would be a landslide for Christmas.
It'll be
I
a
don't think it would be a landslide, but I think she does have Kevin locked up. Kevin has okay. been a Christmas fan all season long.
Okay.
We'll see how that goes. Andy, where are you on the is Christmas in love with Paul debate?
It seems like she is, right? I mean, I feel like especially
oh, yeah,
like,
she is.
Well, because she's like also so blinded. I feel like her blindness towards him, I think, comes from this weird love that she has for him, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish the show would explore this.
These other two jokers aren't willing to say anything. They're just like, well, I don't know. Yeah. So,
Brett, stop misquoting me. I have been, I have said this entire time that I believe that Christmas is infatuated with Paul, and to the point where she would be happy to lose the game. And I also think that if Josh knocked out Paul at the final three, I think she would be livid. I said this on the podcast last night.
That's true. I remember.
I really love seeing Rob get frustrated. Just like I do when Brent claims that we said something we didn't, because I feel like I'm usually the only one, and everyone's like, "Taryn, why are you getting so upset about it?"
Christmas, I feel like, has been a big disappointment for me. I went in thinking she was like smart and got it, and I think that like in an alternate universe she could have been great, but she's been a huge disappointment.
And I don't understand why. I mean, here's the thing. It's a weird dichotomy where I feel like her breaking her leg saved her game, and that I feel like she went a lot further in the game than she would have. I think like people would have seen her as a threat. But in doing so, she just totally abdicated responsibility of her game over to Paul. And I can't say that would have happened necessarily if she hadn't have broken her leg. But the fact that she did, and she did abdicate responsibility, I'm sure she doesn't see it that way. We saw the show, and we know what happened. We got the receipts.
In week one, she broke her foot. On finale night, Paul broke her heart. The tragic story of Christmas Joy Abbott.
Yeah.
Coming to Amazon.
My other big question about her is, like, so I know yet again, like, coming out of our paychecks, like, Gina Marie had to get stitches our season, and she had to pay for them out of her prize money.
Wait, like, what? They don't even come.
No, Gina Marie had to pay for her own stitches out of her prize money. Is Christmas going to come out of the house with, like, $300,000 in medical bills? Like, I don't get it.
That seems unimaginable to me. I mean, that's certainly not the case with Survivor from everything that I've ever learned. Why would Big Brother be that way if in terms of the, I mean, I would think that when you're participating on a reality show, I mean, if there are some sort of like complications after the show ends, I could see that being out of pocket. Right. But while you're in the care of the show, that I've never heard that before.
Yeah, Gina Marie's stitches came out of her paycheck.
How did she get the injury?
During a comp. Like, it was, like, during, like, Super Veto. She, like, flew into something. Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay. That's actually stunning.
Yeah,
because, I mean, Christmas didn't even injure it in the course of, like, a Big Brother.
Yeah, she was just being a jerk-off, like, horsing around the backyard.
Right, no, I've, like, genuinely been thinking that. I mean, maybe, like, her insurance is, you know what I'm saying? Maybe she has insurance and it's covering it, but I'm, like, I don't know how that works, like, when you're under, like, the spell of the show, but I'm, like, is she going to come out with just tons and tons of medical bills? I don't know.
Yeah. Although that might be like the Raven clause, because then they might have to like, they knew that like in the future, there was going to be one day somebody's going to say, I got this condition. I got this condition. I got this condition. Right. I have all these medical bills now.
They're asking the chat, do you get insurance from the show when you're on it?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Like, let me ask you this question, Andy. Maybe you know the answer. Like the, we've seen multiple times on multiple seasons where somebody has a toothache and they have to see the dentist and they have to bring a dentist in. Like, right. Do you have to pay for that too, I would guess?
I mean, I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I could tell you from Survivor that when you are treated by the Survivor doctors and you're in the medical care of if an injury happens to you while you're on Survivor, you need some sort of a surgery that, you are covered by the production. So I guess
it does make more sense for Survivor given the conditions. But I mean, you'd still expect it of Big Brother, but
that's more like a symptom of Mark Burnett Productions versus Fly on the Wall Productions.
Yeah.
No tea, no shade.
Okay. All right. Let's get into some questions here with Andy. Hashtag RHAP. This is from Dominic Malapieti, who says, Andy, what are your thoughts on Celebrity Big Brother? Anyone you want to see on it? Now, Andy, once upon a time, way back when, I recall that you were a guest with Mike Bloom and I talking about the Celebrity Apprentice, which you were very fond of at that time. So I won't ask your opinion on it now, Andy.
Right.
So who are some celebrities you would like to see? And first of all, you're excited for Celebrity Big Brother, right?
Oh, yes. I'm very excited for Celebrity Big Brother. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to be a letdown right now. I haven't really thought about celebrities that I would want to see on it. I think that Tiffany Pollard would be a lot of fun. I feel like everyone said her, but she's just always a hoot. But I don't know. I mean, I think I like watching Z-list celebrities screaming at each other. And so I think that it'll be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. Did you see the article today? I believe it was the Hollywood Reporter where I believe they spoke to Julie Chen and she revealed how Les Moonves broke it to her that she would be getting a pay cut for Celebrity Big Brother. Did you see this, Taryn? She's like, Les came home and said, that's it, we're doing a shorter season, you're taking a pay cut, everybody is getting less money for this, and don't get your lawyer involved, which the article that went on to say that her lawyer is Les Moonves's brother.
Tell your lawyer, well, there's no negotiation.
I wonder if that's because the contestants are going to get paid a bunch more. Because I mean, I'm sure the stipend will be a lot more. We get a grant. I think we got a grand a week or $1,500 a week. I feel like celebrities are going to demand a lot more than that. So I wonder if as a result, everyone else has to take a pay cut. I don't know.
Well, I just think it's probably having to do with it's going to be a 3-week season. So I'm not sure if Julie's rate is based on the week or not. But we'll see. But she said in the article, is this how you talk to your wife?
I'll have to go back and read this. I did not see this.
It's like a whole play. Yeah. Okay. John Densford says, Andy, can you settle the Taryn versus Brelissa debate? Would Jody be good players in a Paul-less season? And I will weigh in on this as well then after Andy.
No, I don't think they would. I still think that they would alienate themselves. I think that they would not be good. I take that back. I think together they would not be good.
Yes.
Okay, together they would not be good. I think Jessica has good instincts, and I think Jessica would be good on her own, but with Cody in there, she would not be good.
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to check the tape.
Yeah, I'm going to set my official answer on this. And I think that both of them were fine separate. I think it's a Brendan and Rachel type thing. And sorry to bring up a sore subject, Taryn. But I would say, just like in Big Brother 12, there wasn't any vet telling people hey, get rid of them. I think that a showmance is a really big target in the house. I think either of them could have been capable players on their own. But together, I think that they would have been much too big of a target, especially considering winning competitions. I think they would have had a run, but I think that they probably would have petered out somewhere in the middle of the game.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry, Brent. Okay.
That's okay. I'm used to being on my own island over here.
Okay. Landry says, do you think that Jason withheld Josh's goodbye info, or did he botch the delivery of that message? Why wouldn't it make the edit? Taryn, this was something that I've heard you talk about where Jason didn't quite hear what Josh said.
Well, he heard what Josh said. He didn't hear what
Paul
said.
Yeah.
And then they informed him afterward in the ET Canada interview. They were like, so Paul said this. How do you feel about that? And he was like, Paul said what? Oh, my God. I wasn't even listening. He ended up leaving the house thinking he was sure that Paul and Alex had betrayed him. Then getting to the jury house thinking, I don't even know what's happening right now. And we just saw he didn't even know what was happening until Alex came back to confirm it.
Okay. Let's go to Jen, who says, is Paul playing a coach from South Pacific game? Will Paul tank his own game? Andy, we've touched on this from way back when. Sophie Clark was the first person to say, no, Paul's not Boston Rob. He's coach. And we had in Survivor in back-to-back seasons in Survivor 22 and 23, two returning vets went to the end, really dominated the action in the season. One ends up winning by a big margin. The other one ends up losing a vote to a first-time player. Which outcome do you think is more likely for Paul?
I really don't know, man. Like, I feel like I don't see Paul winning in a landslide. I really don't.
And again, just going back to the difference between Rob and and coach, just to reset that Rob went to the end, and it really was not that Rob was outstanding in terms of what he did in the final tribal council, but he did, you know, make the compelling case of how hard he worked to get to this point.
Right.
Whereas coach really was still up there. I played this game with honor. I played with integrity. Okay,
I'm going to say right now that if I had to liken Paul to one of them, I would say he's more of a Rob Mariano than a coach for sure.
Yeah. You know, I did think that was interesting to see Paul have that big breakdown at the final four last night, where he ultimately, and Tyron, you were talking about this on the morning update. To me, I feel like that when you go back and you mentioned Boston Rob, I feel like that for Paul, that might have been the moment that he thought he won the game. To me, that that big outburst, like not the fact that he's just emotional, but I think that in his mind, I think he believes that he won at that point.
I agree 100%. I think Paul thought, I mean, he's been talking about the final four HOH all season long. He really feels like he has it sewn up at this point. And he thinks that he's definitely going to take Josh. I think he thinks that Josh is going to take him, though he does have some inclination that that might not be true, but he thinks he's going to win the final three HOH regardless, so it won't matter. And then he thinks he'll take Josh to the end. He'll easily beat Josh. He's basically won the game by being safe at the final four. And it also cemented the fact that he will have never been on the block, which is, he feels like, a winning argument.
Yeah. Andy, did you get that from Paul last night, that when he had that big outburst after winning the final four HOH, that he felt like he locked up the game last night?
I mean, I definitely got tinges of it for sure. I think he also just for the first time really realized that he needed to win something and he was able to pull it out, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, he was there, like, as someone who has also won the final four HOH in veto, like, he was very emotional for some, but I feel like I didn't think I had the game locked up yet. Like, I feel like when I won the final four HOH, I did not think that I had won at that point. And so, yeah, I mean, he had a much more emotional response than I did, so I can attest to that.
Right. And just to go back to Rob again in Redemption Island, that I don't think that Rob, if you go back and watch the tape, has a super emotional reaction to winning the game, but he has that really big emotional reaction of winning the final four immunity challenge that's going to get him into the final three. So I wonder if he does win, if we will see him get nearly as emotional as he did when he won that final four HOH.
Right.
Brent, did you have anything you wanted to add on this?
No, I do think, though, it'd be interesting if it came down to another 5-4 vote, because Paul already experienced that before, where it's 4-4 with the last vote coming out and he lost. I think that CBS and Julie Chen would absolutely love the drama of it if it was 4-4 again and she goes to the last vote and it's like Cody or somebody, and we have to see if he's a winner or not. I actually would be living if he was like Russell Hanst or Amanda Kimmel and lost both times. But on the other hand, I'm with Andy. I'm very torn on this because he has played so well, but everyone else has been so dumb. It's hard for me to really to give him much credit for the fact that he's played so well, because it's like playing against kids.
Brent, what would you rather? If I gave you two choices,
okay,
Paul wins or Christmas wins, what would you rather have?
I'd have to have Paul win. It was Amon that said this on Twitter, where he was like, it seems like it's so unfun to watch Paul because it's like he's playing the Big Brother game on easy mode. You know, like on video games where you have like easy, medium, and hard. It's easy mode right now for Paul. And it's been like that all season long. But in his head, he's like, well, I had to play really hard and I had to, you know, work my ass off. And
to be fair, I think that he's made it look easier than it actually is. Andy, would you agree or disagree with that?
I think I'm right in the middle. I feel like I've been right in the middle for a lot of this podcast. But no, it's like, I definitely think that he has played very well. And I think that it is not easy to manipulate a group of people the way that he has. But I also think that he weirdly, I mean, and I will liken this, I will go to my grave saying this about season 16 too. I think that Derek played with the cast of, I think that the cast of 16 and the cast of 19 were two of the weakest casts in the show's history. And as a result, it made it easy for someone who is very good at manipulating people to do it very well. You know, like, I don't think that a Paul or a Derek would have done this well on my season or Big Brother 17, because I think there were a lot more people that were there to play. And I don't think it would have been as easy for them. And I think that a weak cast makes it look easy, but I also don't think that it is easy.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yes. Tara, did you have any thoughts on that?
You know, I'm never like too fond of the, you know, dumb cast. Cause like, is it a dumb cast or was it somebody who was playing well enough to make their opponents look dumb? Or maybe it was just the style of play that makes their opponents look dumb. Right. I do think though, this was, I mean, if we are going to try to judge casts, this was definitely a pretty weak one. Add into the fact that Paul is the only veteran in the cast. Right. That gives him a huge leg up.
Paul has done half of these competitions before. It's yeah. like, you know, I mean, Big Brother recycles competitions. He literally won What the Bleep a year ago, you know, like, I think that's actually a bad example. Cause like that one's, I mean, you have to like actually know stuff for that one. But like, I mean, a lot of these competitions, he knows what to expect. And that is an advantage, you know?
It really is. Sure. Like, I'm looking at the BB Comics competition, and I know everybody knows it's coming, but it's one thing to know it's coming, and it's another thing to play it. Because you know exactly what strategy to use to lay out all the things, to look at the differences between them, and go and look for it rather than look at it and then come back and try to put it on the board.
Right.
There's definitely a strategy there, and Paul definitely had it down.
Yeah, okay. And when we talk about, like, is Paul Boston Rob or is he coach, I do think he has a lot of coach aspects to him, even though he did play a Boston Rob type game.
Right.
And that comes down to the fact that he's not owning his game. The problem is here, and I think the key difference between Paul and coach, is that Paul doesn't have a Sophie to, like, sweep up those votes from the people who are like, you're not owning your game. At least there's, like, a really great, you know, other option here that was playing you the whole way down the line. You know, maybe that's Josh, but I'm not sure that Josh is as well spoken as Sophie, and I'm not sure that he can convey that same sort of alternative option.
Yeah, I feel like it's more like coach versus Albert, and exactly, what that final two looks like. And can coach, even as badly as he played at the end of South Pacific, could he win versus Albert? I think he would have. So I feel like that's where the difference is in the analogy.
Right. For Josh to be Sophie in this analogy, he would have to get to the final two and saying, you thought Paul was playing you, I was playing Paul the whole time, like and that really is not the case that he is going to be arguing.
But here's the thing, it would be kind of brilliant if he did. Like, Paul doesn't have a lot of time on live TV to negate it, you know.
Exactly, and that's what he should be doing, but instead he plans on saying, we were a loyal final three alliance this whole time. And I feel like they're gonna be like, yeah, he had a final three with everyone, he just chose you because you were the weakest.
You thought Paul was playing you, well, we were working with him and helping him.
Yeah. Well, we were throwing counts.
Just so
him.
You know, yeah. Meatball.
Okay. That said, I do think that if we're talking about like a Josh Christmas final two, I think that the jury could, and we saw Arissa tweet this out, that like juries are very rarely live unless the person that everyone thought was going to win the game goes out at final three. And then they're like, well, I guess we have to choose between one of these. I think all Josh needs to say is, this idiot Christmas would have taken Paul if she won the final three HOH. And then everyone would be like, okay, yeah, we'll just vote for you then, I guess, Josh, because we're not going to vote for Christmas.
He does know that she would take Paul. So I'm hoping he might be brutal enough and greedy enough to want to say that.
Can we talk about what an insane moment that was when he flat out was like, I'm going to take you. And she was like, I can't say the same thing back to you. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, we talked about this last night. It was,
well, I mean, we've been talking about Malcolm all season long, but it was a very Malcolm Freeburn move.
And this was a lot worse than the Malcolm and Denise thing,
right?
You know, because Malcolm was like he was like hedging. She flat out said, "No, I will not take you. I will."
She said, "I don't want to make that decision."
She said, "I don't want to make." Yeah, she was like, "I don't know what to do yet." Yeah.
And then he's like, "Well, I'm going to take you," and she's like,
Yeah.
She said, "Don't take me. Take Paul."
She said, "Don't take me." Yeah. Don't take me. Yeah. Oh my God.
Which is insanity. Insanity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me get in this question from RHAP superfan Brendan Viegas. Is Andy Herron excited that BB19 has almost completely eclipsed his season as that season? Well, I saw Spencer, I believe, tweet earlier this season that BB19 has passed BB15 now. Was that the big eclipse everybody talked about this summer, Andy?
I mean, sure. I don't know. I feel like, but here's the thing. I feel like every season when the season is airing, it's the worst season ever, at least as I've been watching in years past. But I feel like this season has for sure gotten more hate.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of like having the title of being like the worst one ever. I don't want to if you're going to be one extreme, be one or the other.
Yeah. And the worm will turn for this season also. Yeah. I do believe that by next summer, people will be talking about Paul with reverence about like, that's not right. What Paul would have done. Paul would have had these idiots eating out of the palm of their hand. And there'll be, you know, Reddit threads of remember the time that Paul got Alex to put up Kevin and Raven at the double eviction. And it will turn around for Paul as well.
Well, I hope so. I mean, like, I know it definitely turned around for BB15. I mean, like, Andy, you were right. I know you were joking about the fact that you're like a fine wine as a winner, but your season also is like a fine wine because, like, I would kill for the feeds that we had on BB15. Yeah. I mean, those people were freaking nuts.
People tell me all the time that, like, there there was ugliness on my season, which sucked, but like gameplay wise, like, people my season came to play. Like, there were a lot of people that were, like, there to play and then were there to play hard. No one my season, you were not going to hear a person on my season saying they were going to like, they would be happy losing to anyone in the final two, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's also amazing what this season has done for Big Brother 16, because when Big Brother 16 was happening, people were like, this is the dumbest cast of all time. Derek isn't even good. He's just playing with a bunch of idiots. This season, people are like, Paul, he's playing with the dumbest cast of all time. Derek at least played with some smart people.
Idiots.
I still think Big Brother 16, the cast was worse than this one. Derek played with a really, really bad cast.
Okay, Tyron, mark that down as an off-season podcast. Go person for person, pound for pound, BB16 and BB19 cast comparison.
Yeah. There you go, yeah.
Okay. That's the LFC drafts a team from the pool of BB16 and BB19. And then whatever cast has more people left at the end of the draft, that's how we'll know who was worse.
All right.
You like that idea, Brent?
I love that idea.
Okay. All right. I also want to do a celebrity Big Brother cast draft also.
Ooh, okay.
Okay.
Any chance to be Taryn in a draft, I'm all in for.
Kyle Dorr says, is there a chance Paul would try to throw the first HOH to Christmas if she were cleared for round one in hopes that he might get production help in round two? I mean, even Brent is shaking his head.
This person is someone who watches the show. This person is watching the show. They're not watching the feeds. I love you, Kyle, but you're not watching the feeds. If you're watching the feeds, you would know that Paul doesn't want Christmas anywhere near the final two. He wants to get rid of her. I think if anything, Paul would be willing to throw the endurance competition to Josh if possible, taking his chances against a broken footed Christmas in part two and hopefully go to the final two to part three, where it's him versus Josh, where Paul thinks Josh will take him to the end, and or where at least Paul thinks he's going to win in a walk. But obviously part three is a bit of a crapshoot.
Yeah. After Paul had his talk with Kevin, he ran to Josh and was like, we need to study because Christmas is going to win this game. We need to beat her. He does not want her anywhere near that final two.
Okay. This is from Murray. What does Andy think of Raven's assertion? I'm assuming we are talking about that she is the puppet master.
I mean, it just plays into the Raven that we've gotten to see and love all season. It's just, it's insanity. It wasn't shocking. I feel like Raven is someone who just, I weirdly feel like Raven says all these insane, crazy lies and like believes them. You know, I think she's one of those people where it's like, it transcends her knowing that it's a lie into like this weird reality in her brain where like she actually did. I think she actually did think that she was a puppet master.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't believe that she's lying about that. I do believe that she does think that she does, like, whether she believes she has every illness that she says she has, whether she believes that she was in Mensa or any of these other things.
It's a weird combo of her being a compulsive liar and also a one-upper. You know, I mean, it's a deadly combo to be both of those things.
So. Fake news.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of like what I talked about when it's like Raven leaves the house thinking that Paul voted for her. And like, so that becomes her reality. And I think even if she finds out that Paul didn't vote for her, even because now she's found out that like Paul had all these other alliances, they definitely weren't loyal to her and Matt because they're sitting out there. I think she just like when confronted with evidence, like countering her beliefs, she's just like, nope, I'm going to find a way around that somehow. She's very, very set in her, right. her ways.
Okay. Let's do a few more questions here with Andy. Wesley says, how much should we base who we think will win the game on the jury segment edit? Brent, you think this can be wacky, right?
Oh, yeah, this can be wacky. I mean, like, especially after we got the wool pulled over us on Big Brother Canada 4. I mean, I'm never going to trust a jury segment again. I mean, they can make it look however they want it to look, to make it look like they've got a real competition going into the final two. But I take it with a grain of salt.
OK, let's do like Raven's cooking. Right. Jeff Patterson says, do you think that Cody's anger went from hating Paul to baffled at the cult loyalty that he'd vote for him out of respect? All right. Brent, as the resident Cody expert, do you think that Cody will say game respects game?
I felt like Cody has never been angry with Paul in the first place. I feel like Cody was angry with everybody else. I mean, like from Cody's perspective, Paul was just, he was a gamer. He was playing the game. He's like, you know, you got all these idiots to take you far and, you know, push you forward, you know, congratulations, give you the money. Now, having sat in jury for 3-4 weeks with these other people and talked with them, I mean, I've always thought Cody could be amenable to a potential Josh victory. I may be talking out of my ass on that one, but I feel like he could if Josh shows a little bit of heart and Paul is shown to be duplicitous in his final two speech, but that remains to be seen.
I just feel like there was a lot of smirking going on in that jury house segment every time that people talked about being duped by Paul. Elena was smirking like, this is hilarious. This is great. I love that Paul has made a fool of these people. Cody, other than Matt, was very happy every time that people talked about being duped by Paul. I think this is like a show for them and they're enjoying it. I don't know if that will translate to their vote, but they're definitely enjoying the show.
Yeah.
All right. This is from Rick Resch. What did Kevin whisper in Christmas's ear? Taryn, did you catch that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. No, it was inaudible.
Yeah. Okay. Did he disinvite Christmas from Thanksgiving, Andy?
I bet that's what it was for sure. Yeah.
He said, your name should have been Thanksgiving.
He seemed really pissed. Yeah.
Yeah. No Black Friday at my Thanksgiving Christmas. The Christmas creep ends here. Okay. Alex S., who do you think would have had the most control of the house if Paul never entered the house? This goes back to the, would Cody and Jessica have run the table? Andy, who's the winner of this season if there is no Paul this season?
See, I'm gonna put some more eggs in the Christmas basket. I think that Christmas is smart, and I think that Christmas is like a capable person. But I feel like she's been so blinded by Paul. Okay. But at the same time, I think she really has shown some brilliant elements to her game, like the way that she really did cultivate her relationship with Josh. I mean, like, she has it so that Josh will take her to the end, which you have to give her credit for. You know, she really worked at that relationship with him.
Do you believe that Christmas would have broken her foot in the universe that Paul isn't there? Or do you believe in destiny? Or do you believe that Paul being in the house caused that?
She probably
would
have still broken her foot. I don't know.
Whatever happened, happened, Taryn.
Right.
It's a butterfly effect. And even the smallest change means she doesn't break her foot.
No, I believe in destiny. I think she still breaks her foot if Paul isn't there.
I kind of still feel like she breaks her foot if Paul is there, or if Paul isn't there as well. I feel like it's like time is like.
I'm going to ask her that on finale night and see what she says.
Yes, exactly. I want to know that. What does she think of that?
I'm sure she'll know. Yeah.
She was so pissed off that morning because she had just been as the replacement nominee. So I don't know. We'll see.
And then we'll ask her if she has to pay the medical bills on her.
Right? Oh my God. You have to ask her that, Rob.
I want
to
know that for sure. Yeah.
Paul will be in the backyard and he will ask her that.
You should ask her, is Paul going to pay your medical bills because he's such a good teammate?
Yeah,
that he's won the game.
Yes, well, absolutely. That's friendship. And he said he would.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that might be it for the questions. Let's have one more. Harper says, is Cody's I didn't the line of the season in terms of everybody was helping Paul? I didn't, Andy.
I think the line of the season is I didn't din dog.
Yeah. Andy, have you been using Gumpy in your everyday conversation?
No. Of course not.
Oh, it's freaking terrible. I mean, this is like, Rob, this is seriously like where the first movie was good and then the sequel is really, really bad. Like, I don't even know where he got this from. It's terrible.
Yeah, I have not.
Okay, and let's have one more question. Riley Rage. So who from this season has an actual chance of playing again from a production point of view? All right, let's play the All-Stars, Andy.
Matt.
What?
Just kidding. I'm gonna say Jessica and Cody. I think both of them would have a shot at possibly coming back.
Do you think they bring them back in one season? So
I think they both could have a shot for sure.
In a full All Stars or some sort of like season where they like Big Brother 13 type bring back pairs.
I am so over a mixed cast. I want full All Stars if they're bringing anybody back.
Okay. How do you think they would do in a full All Star cast, Jessica and Cody?
I don't know. I think they could do okay if they don't alienate themselves, but like hopefully they would learn from their mistakes this time. I don't think they would be high on like a pecking order.
Yeah, I think they would. It would help them because they would be so many threats in the house. Although right. There is a very good chance that Paul could be back in that house.
I would say maybe Mark.
Kevin,
maybe. I was liking Mark in the jury house,
but I'm not sure if he did enough here.
I think Josh has for sure. Josh.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, I think Cody is the top pick by far. And then I could see like Elena or maybe Kevin or Josh. But I think they're probably going to stay a little bit away from this season and just stick with Cody.
I don't know. The ratings were good. I feel like that's the ultimate determining factor. What about a healthy Christmas, Brent?
I guess. I mean, like, I'm just so over her right now. It's very hard for me to see anything positive about her. She just gets very infatuated and attached to people, and she's unwilling to listen. That was the thing that frustrated me and Taryn the most about watching Christmas. It's not that she at times doesn't have good instincts, because she does. It isn't that she's not feisty at times. She is. It's that when Josh was trying to talk some sense into her, like, you know, hey, Paul might be actually guarding himself here so that he's the one who's safe and we're the ones who are vulnerable. She just wouldn't listen to him. It was something where she was like a little kid covering up her ears, where she didn't want to hear anything bad about the situation because right. It would upset her worldview on how she thought the game was going. And I couldn't respect that. At least listen to them and you can dismiss it, but she would not even listen to him.
I also saw a theory on Reddit about the one time that Christmas did seem anti-Paul when Josh was HOH and he wanted to go after Elena.
That
Christmas, sort of like how we've sort of determined that Josh being anti-Paul is mostly just an emotional reaction, and that's why he didn't go through with keeping Alex. Maybe Christmas was jealous of the physical interaction between Paul and Elena.
That makes so much sense, Taryn. Yeah. Yes. Yes, that's right. That is right. I agree with that. Yes, because Elena and Paul were getting very close, and Paul was trying to drive a wedge between Elena and Mark, and then Mark was going up on the block at that point in time, and Paul was like, okay, stick with me. And Christmas was like, she's got to go. That bitch is no good for us. I hate her. She's got to go. Yeah. I don't care what Paul thinks. I know what's best for him.
It was really weird though, because we were watching the feeds and we were like, you know, Tara and I were excited because we were like, okay, Christmas and Josh, they're not listening to Paul. Christmas is like, you know, you talk to me first. This isn't Paul's HOH. And we're like, yes. And it was like those two people just totally evaporated by the end of that week. And we were left with like, what happened? But now listening to you, I'm like, oh my God, that's totally what happened. And because that's exactly how Christmas would react too.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody
gets in between me and my man. Sorry, Taryn. Okay, let's talk about what else going on robhasawebsite.com. First off, first one out, Taryn, the new episode is up. I have to commend you and Josh Wiggler. I listened to it again, and really, that it's been so good. I tweeted this morning, I was not prepared for how much I really enjoyed the Healers Tribe, that all of them I thought were very fun and interesting. And again, you guys really knocked it out of the park. Check that out. First one out. If you haven't listened to any of it, go to robhaswebsite.com/firstoneout, spell it out, and hear all three episodes so far. Excellent work.
I had to listen to all these interviews like weeks ago and like see this great cast of Survivor and like be watching Big Brother 19 at the same time. It was very unfortunate for me.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's really fun because you get to hear, because the game hasn't started yet, so, and you get to hear a lot of like Jeff Probst and Matt Van Wagenen talk about, okay, the reason why we like this person is because they have this quality and this quality and this quality, and then they also brought this in. And, you know, they really do sort of like make a compelling case as to why each person is there. So it's a really, really fun way to do the preseason.
Yeah. And say what you want about Probst and all and the producers of Survivor, but like they really try to cast players of the game. They want people who are going to play hard, who are going to be interesting. And I think that's a little bit more than we can say for
they
Big
take
Brother.
It very, they take it all very seriously. Yeah. This is also, we've got the latest episode of the Challenge wrap up, Challenge Dirty 30, episode 9. Andy, do you still keep up with the Challenge?
Oh, yeah. I just did a podcast with Susie from, I mean, she did a few challenges like years ago, but I just like talked with her about it. I think this season's been a lot of fun. I've liked the season quite a bit. I think the last few were kind of duds, and I think this one has like brought it back.
Okay. Check out what Brian and Allie have to say about that on our Challenge wrap up. So You Think You Can Dance coming to the end of the season. Check that out as well. What else we got?
And also, you're going to be in the backyard for finale night, and there's an email address that people can write to if they want to.
BBFinale at robhasawebsite.com. We're going to take your questions. I got one question today. I probably won't use this one, but just to give you an example of the types of questions that I've gotten, this is from the same person that sent me a slew of questions. Writes in, this is from a woman. I'll hold her name. Okay. She says, for Paul, Paul, did you ever realize how stupid you look in all of your costume clothes? That is very gumpy. That is a very gumpy question.
If I lived in that house, I would 100% take a knife to that floaty while everyone was sleeping. Like, without a doubt. I hate that thing. Yeah,
pop it.
I do have an update on the Taran Show episode with Netta.
Is this breaking news?
Well, I tweeted it out earlier.
Breaking news are happening now.
Yes, okay. What is the latest, Taran?
Tentative schedule is tomorrow night. I can't promise anything, but tomorrow night I will hopefully have that out for you. So sorry about the delay. My hands were a bit tied, but I'm doing my best, and hopefully we'll get it out tomorrow night. Good stuff coming.
Yes. Is the issue that you were debating getting it out or not? And Cindy with an S has come in and to really push you in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, Cindy made some really compelling arguments as to why it would be better for my podcasting career if maybe I just cut Netta entirely from.
Yeah, get it out and do it now. That's what the. The right answer is okay. Of course, check out Nick Yadanza with Phoebe from Australian Survivor 1 talking about the latest in Australian Survivor this week. I am way behind. I got to catch up on Australian Survivor this weekend. And then, of course, Taran will be back with the live feed update. We'll find out exactly what went on in the house tonight. We don't expect them to kick off part one of the HOH for a little bit, right, Taran?
Yeah, I we were talking about this pre-show. We're assuming that they're probably going to film the clip show for tomorrow tonight. So I imagine the feeds will be down for the rest of that. So
okay, and then of course Friday episode. We'll see. Well, let's see who we can get for the Friday night recap of the recap. Those are some of my favorite podcasts to do. So we will talk about that. Remember the time when this happened? Those are always a lot of fun for me to go through all the different clip shows. Nothing will top the last clip show for me, Andy, where we got all of the talk about Jessica giving the Heisman to Julie Chen.
Oh yeah, that was great.
Yeah, that was that was my all-time favorite.
Julie's gonna have to give me the Heisman when I get on the stage, because I'm gonna be so happy to see her that I'm just gonna hug her.
Okay. All right. There you go.
Also, the American Ninja Warrior finale will be on Monday night. So check out our American Ninja Warrior coverage.
Okay. Rob, I have to tell you, it dawns on me listening to all of this that you're announcing that I need a new show. So.
All right. What happened to that? You don't want a show that you get all these people messaging you. Hey, how come Taryn has a show and you don't have a show? And the reason is because you don't want a show.
Well, I like to just be like the side piece, you know, like I don't need to be the main man, you know?
Okay. Well, let's chat and we'll figure something out.
I'm sort of kidding. I'm just like, you know, like I'm like, it's winding down my baby, you know, that kind of thing.
All right. Of course, follow the great Andy Heron on Twitter. He will have many tweets going into finale night as well.
Oh, for sure.
At Andy Heron, the verified Andy Heron on Twitter. So very excited about that. I'm trying to see what have you been tweeting about, Andy? Endorsing Raven for America's favorite player. Who is feeling arc and sassy with me? RT,
yeah,
if you agree.
You're going to do that. And so I did it.
34 retweets for that, Andy.
Ooh, that is 34 more than I thought it would get.
Not bad. All right. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. And also 3 weeks from tonight, if you want to come out to Survivor Match Game at the Hollywood Improv, really looking forward to that. Go to robinswebsite.com/matchgame for that. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.